If you're ready to live your life with passion, bliss, euphoria, and a freedom you never knew was possible, then this show is for you. Join celebrity host Dame Nicole Brandon, the world's top expert in reaching it all, as she shares her knowledge for unlimited finances, wealth, love, joy, and unbridled living. This is Passionate Living. And now, Dame Nicole Brandon.
Well, hi, it's Dame Nicole Brandon, and welcome to tonight's Passionate Living Show. We have a really special and extraordinary show this evening. I am actually in New York City, and many of you that have been listening to the show know that I was here a couple weeks ago to speak at the United Nations, and I was here talking about the plight of the homeless children, kids that have been abused, kids that have been sold into slavery, kids whose parents were killed during the war that are out wandering the streets. And many of you know that I also promote and support the Teen Project, which is incredible as far as fostering youth and helping kids get back on their feet, taking kids out of abusive relationships. And for those that have been following the plight of the children or that know these children or yourself, if you have been lost or you are on the streets, and especially now that I am back east and the weather is changing and it's cold, and from wherever you are in the countries, I just want to make sure that people know that you can send a text message from your phone, and most teens that are homeless will have a phone, but not a safe place to go. They may not have a bed, they may not have food, but most of them do have a way to connect with one another, and they do somehow manage to have a cell phone or be able to have access to a cell phone. So if this is you, you can send a text message to 99000, really easy, 99000, and simply text the word shelter or the word abused and your zip code. And you can do this from anywhere in the nation. Send a text message to 99000 and just the word shelter abused and your zip code. And they will respond immediately with a safe place for you to live, a safe place for you to be. From anywhere in the nation, somebody will come and you will receive an immediate response. And it's amazing that we have these programs that are out there today. And I was thinking about Thanksgiving and all of the different ways that we can help people at this time of year. One of my favorite artists has always been Harry Chapin. I loved him because of the stories that he told, whether that be Taxi or Cats in the Cradle. And I remember that he had a very difficult time on the radio because his songs were so long. He was sharing this information at that time, radio play, but the people that attached to his music, it became profound. And a lot of people that don't realize that a lot of the charities that he worked with are still in existence today. And I remember listening to one of his albums, and he was saying, wouldn't it be extraordinary if every Monday after Thanksgiving, all of the elementary school teacher principals and all of the junior high school teacher principals called assemblies and said to the boys and girls, boys and girls, I am so proud and so excited to be your principal. I am so honored to know you. And because of the cans you collected and all the food that you brought in, you fed all of these boys and girls, you know, however many hundreds of people or whatever it was that they fed. And they all had food because of you. But I have a question. What are they going to eat next week? And if they open that course of conversation, what a different world we would be to live in today. And so I was looking up articles of all of the different ways that you can make a difference on Thanksgiving. You can go to your local soup kitchen and help the homeless, help the poor. You can go to your churches, to your synagogues, to your community centers. And if you're not sure how to do that, you can go online to 1-800-VOLUNTEER.org, 1-800-VOLUNTEER.org, and they will guide you to the Salvation Armies, to the rescue missions, to your local churches, to places you can deliver food to people in need. And it's amazing how many people really could use your love and support. I know as we talk about the foster kids, that a lot of children don't get adopted when they reach a certain age, when they're 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. So many people want babies. And so when kids become young adults or young teens, very often there isn't a place for them to go. And they've started a new program where you can adopt a grandparent, which I think is such a great idea, that these kids who have not been adopted, who don't have families, can go to senior centers and they can adopt grandparents who are alone, who no longer have spouses, who don't have families, and they can share their love. So when we talk about ways that you can share your love this holiday season, it's amazing. You can go ahead and you can do walkathons. You can have motorcycle runs. You can create any charity you want. Even charities like the United Nations have walks that you can look into. And that money goes to shelters. That money goes to homeless. That money goes to feed the poor and to help clothe and shelter people in need. I work with an organization called One Voice. And One Voice feeds thousands upon thousands upon thousands of families and underprivileged children and entire worlds under poverty level. And every year they come together and they give these kids toys and books in whatever language that they're in. And they paint the kids' faces and they have Santa Claus there and they give them turkey and stuffing and vegetables and bread. And these kids and these families come freezing weather. They don't have shoes. They don't have coats. They don't have anything. And just to be hugged, a lot of these kids have never been touched. They just pull away when you go to hug them, or they pull away when you go to paint their faces, just because they don't know what human touch is. And I remember that there was a mother that came with her child, and the little boy was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and they were taking all the kids through to get books and to get toys and to see Santa Claus and to play games. And at the end, they would all give food. And they said to this little boy, "Do you know who's inside?" And he shook his head no. And the person at the door said, "Santa Claus." And the little boy just looked blankly at them like he didn't care at all. And they took him through this little tour. And he was just limp. And the mother afterwards came over and said, "I don't want you to think my child is ungrateful, that he wasn't excited when you told him who was inside. We have nothing. So we never told him about Santa Claus. So he didn't know who it was when you told him there was a Santa Claus, because we never shared that word with him because we knew we could never give him anything." And you can adopt entire families. I've gone to houses, and when you say the refrigerator is bare, the cupboards are bare, they don't have refrigerators. They don't have anything in the cupboards. They don't have beds. They don't have pencils. They don't have tables. They don't have chairs. I remember a little boy was there, and he opened a box that we brought to this family, and he grabbed a towel, and he pulled the towel out, and he pulled it to his chest tightly, and he said, "Is this a pillow? I've never had a pillow before." And I said, "No, it's a towel." But he had never seen a towel. He never had a towel. And so we think that, you know, we want, we need, and we don't even realize that there are people that have nothing, that everything that you give them. We've been in orphanages where there are children in the orphanages, and there are some children playing outside and other kids are inside. And we've asked, how come those kids get to play outside and the other kids are inside and they're not playing? Is something wrong with the kids? And they say, "No, we only have 20 pairs of outdoor shoes. And so only 20 kids can play outside at once." And then they come in and the other kids put the shoes on and they go outside. And so socks, shoes, there is so much that you can do to be able to help at this time. You can have an apple cider stand. You can make ornaments. You can have cookies and bake-offs. There are football funds where you can bet 25 cents or a dollar. And for every point you lose, you can donate that money to charity. And so it's a wonderful time of year to talk to your family and to talk to your friends about things that you can do. I know that we talk about the book Happiness in an Instant, Anil Gupta's book, which is absolutely one of my favorite books. And he talks about every night that ever since his kids were little, he sits along with his family and he would ask the kids what they were grateful for today. And the kids would say what they were grateful for. And then he'd say, what did you see today? And they would share something that they witnessed today. And then he would say, and what did you give today? What act of kindness did you do today? And one at a time, his wife, his children would say what act of kindness. And then he'd say, what did you do today that you weren't appreciated for? And his wife would say, well, I cooked this beautiful meal and nobody thanked me. Or the kids would say, well, I cleaned up my toys and nobody cared. Or I did really well on my spelling test. And just having that conversation of what are you grateful for? What did you see? What act of kindness did you give today or share today? And what did you do that nobody appreciated you for? Can change a conversation and can change a life. So this is a wonderful time of year to be thinking along that line, to open your heart, to open your spirit, and to open your soul. And I know we're jumping to a break in just 1 minute. And when we come back, I have a really dear friend with me, Helen Becker, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk about some of the food at Thanksgiving and some of the people pushing and the holiday season. And sometimes you go to people's homes and they think that's love if you eat their pie, if you eat their cake, if you eat their food, and that somehow you're insulting them if you're not eating their food. And there's so many other ways to share love. And there's so many other ways to give food to those who are in need, and ways that you can take this Thanksgiving as a gratitude for your own life, but you can change someone's life. You can pay it forward and more when we return here on Passionate Living, on our new home on Own Times. And on the break, think about what you're grateful for today, this holiday season, and in the new year to come.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting to your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and help you realize the innate potential you have to heal every aspect of your life. So come heal yourself every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, with your host, Monica Goyal. Namaste.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and we are back on Passionate Living. We're talking about the holidays. We're talking about Thanksgiving. And I have a class on how to lose weight during the holidays. And it's actually one of my favorite things to teach because everybody talks about gaining weight during the holidays. And then they come to the new year and they're ready to work out and they're ready to go to the gym and they make all these resolutions. And so I have a special program that I've taught for years and I've shared for years, and I have food guides on how you can actually lose weight during the holidays. So if you would like my tips on how to do that, please feel free to email me at Nicole@NicoleBrandonWorldwide.com. I am happy to send it to you. It is so much fun, and you really can have a slenderizing, happy, and healthy holiday season. And we're going to talk about that for a bit today. I'm here with a dear, dear friend of mine, Helen Becker, who is a certified health coach, and she is a lifelong learner of health and nutrition, which I absolutely love because constantly new things are unfolding. If you ever go through the supermarket and you say it says new and improved food and newfangled food, and they tell you wine is good, wine is bad, butter is good, butter is bad, olive is good, olive oil is bad, whatever that is, milk is good, dairy is bad. And so how do you know what to believe, if it should be a diet that's for your blood type, or there's so many different ways to lose weight? And how do we actually get through the holidays in a healthy way, in a way that we don't feel guilty, in a way that we don't feel gluttonous, that we don't end up feeling that our energy level has dropped drastically, or that we have to bundle up in clothes because we don't like the way that we look because our winter body has taken on this new costume and mask. And so Helen's here to talk to us about the holidays. And we were talking before the show about, Helen, do you ever feel when you are going Thanksgiving or you go to a party or you go to somebody's house that they're saying, here, eat this, or I made this for you, or that it's a welcoming way that they're actually making you feel guilty for not eating their food?
I think it's ingrained in, food is so ingrained into our culture, and every culture has different foods and different traditions, that we learn from a very young age to associate these foods that are prepared for us with love, right? Our grandmothers make it, our moms make it, our aunts make it. I'm sure there are uncles and dads that make it as well. But we learn to associate food with love from a very, very young age. And not only do we learn to associate it, but the people that are making it for us also associate the giving it to us and making sure we're well fed with love. So it's a really tricky situation for people to work around. And the holidays sort of amplify that feeling of food and love and tradition and family, and it can be a recipe for disaster.
And what happens, I mean, so many people now, you know, in my own family, I have family members that are dairy-free, that are gluten-free, that can't have certain sugars, they can't have certain combinations. Myself, you know, I have a food allergy. People are allergic to peanuts, they're allergic to, you know, all sorts of things. And so when somebody calls and invites you over and says, okay, would you like to come for Thanksgiving or for Christmas dinner or for the holiday party, is it appropriate to say, well, you know, I'm gluten-free and I'm dairy-free and I don't eat peanuts and I don't eat strawberries and I don't eat, or how does one handle actually enjoying the holidays, going to parties, going to, you know, even offices, they have parties and stuff like that where they have buffets and food is just laid out before you. Do you say it? How does one handle that?
I think a lot of it comes down to your comfort level and your relationship with the person who is hosting. But most importantly, if you actually have a serious food allergy, like if you have celiac disease or you're highly allergic to shellfish or peanuts or what have you, you have to let the host know, because the very last thing that anyone wants to contend with on a holiday is an emergency. You know, nobody wants to actually have to call an ambulance because you're going into shock. So that being said, let's move aside from serious food allergies to what a lot of people suffer from, which is food sensitivities, right? If they eat something they don't belong eating, it makes them nauseous. It gives them digestive problems. It gives them hives. It's nothing that's serious, but something that's seriously uncomfortable and long-term obviously can cause some problems. And that's where it gets tricky, right? A lot of people have sensitivities to wheat, sensitivities to dairy, sensitivities like you do to onions.
Right.
You know, I can't eat wheat for the most part. I can't drink beer. So, you know, some people get sick automatically from eating dairy. So in situations like that, again, it comes down to your comfort level with where you're going. I have a couple of tricks. One is obviously asking the host what you can bring. That can be tricky. Obviously,
because they say bake a pie, you can bring the dessert.
Right. Okay. So you can bring a dessert. For me, I would bring, you know, a cheesecake because that's wheat free. I could technically even bring a fruit cobbler, and then I don't have to eat the top, right? I don't put cornstarch in mine. I find another thickener. I use arrowroot. But you just kind of have to get creative in terms of the interpretation. And you can always bring what they ask you to bring and something else. So, you know, I don't eat stuffing, and usually there's an abundance of stuffing. So I will ask if I can bring a Thanksgiving-based cauliflower dish. Now, my cauliflower dish is a bread-free stuffing. I got it from Mark Cezanne, who is the primal guy. If you look him up, you can find him online. And he has this bread-free stuffing, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the best stuffing I've ever eaten, bread or no bread. It's amazing. I add a sage sausage to it, which doesn't call for it in the recipe. And I'm not a fan of hazelnuts, so I replace it with walnuts and pecans. So if you're used to cooking, you can get creative. If you're not used to cooking, follow the recipe. I bring this along. It tastes a lot like stuffing once I add the sausage to it. Otherwise, people just think it's a great cauliflower dish. So, boom, problem solved. I don't have to eat the stuffing, and I get something that resembles, actually, which is better than normal stuffing as far as I'm concerned. So you kind of have to just think outside the box. Bring what they ask you to bring, if they ask you to bring anything, and bring something else that you want, that you know that you'll eat. If you know that, you know, all the vegetables are loaded with foods you can't eat, bring a vegetable. Bring a dish. Nobody's going to not put, well, I shouldn't say nobody. I don't know everybody's family, but most people will not deny what you bring to put on the table. But if you ask them, they may tell you not to bring it. So again, use your judgment. You know your family. If you're not going to be able to eat before, if you're not going to be able to eat anything on the table, eat beforehand. I know that's a horrible thing to say on Thanksgiving, but eat before you get there, and then just have a little bit of, you know, of anything that's there.
And what about portion control? Because, I mean, people on Thanksgiving or Christmas or even the buffets for an office party or something like that, all this food is laid out and they're like, well, it's here, so I should eat it now, and then tomorrow I'll just have a light meal or something. But people gorge themselves, and how does somebody stop? It's like when you see a two-year-old running through Toys R Us or something. How do you go, wait, come back?
You know, Thanksgiving has always been, for me, one of those holidays where I actually never became overly stuffed. And again, this is just me, because I wasn't overly fond of most of the food for Thanksgiving, but I know a lot of people are. And the trick is finding the balance and not thinking about Thanksgiving as it's a holiday, and yes, it's a special occasion, but in terms of the food, treat it like any other day. You don't have to have seconds or thirds. Save your seconds for the next day. A sandwich with the turkey and leftover stuffing is really good with cranberry sauce and gravy on it. It's one of my favorites. But just think about having it the next day. You don't have to have everything on the table and pile it on your plate. And if you do have to have everything on the table, just, Nicole has this great theory she was talking about earlier in terms of losing weight during the holidays. Think about your plate like a pie and just proportion out everything equally. You want to have as much green on your plate as possible. Try to think about 50% of your plate being green, if possible. And then the rest is your protein and your starches. But if you don't want that feeling of being bloated, try to keep your starches low. That the protein combined with the potatoes is what makes you feel bloated. I don't want to get technical, but one requires acid to break down in your stomach, and one is alkaline. So they require different stomach acids to break them down. And when you put protein and starch together in your stomach, like steak and potatoes, an American classic, It makes you feel bloated because they're competing for what's in your stomach to digest. And that is one of the things that contribute on Thanksgiving, along with turkey having all the chemicals in it that make you tired, to making you feel bloated and tired and like you've eaten 20 times too much. And people do tend to pile up on their plates on Thanksgiving anyway.
So, I love that we're talking about that round plate theory and having half the plate being green, because the way that I was taught was just like a clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and starting at 12 o'clock. So you're starting with your veggies, your carrots, your celery, you know, your crudites, whatever that is going around. And then you can have the hummus, you know, like a little bit of whatever that is, or then the chips. And so, and your salads and your protein, your chicken skewers or the piece of shit. So by the time that you get to 11 o'clock, you might put that one cookie or that one little pastry or something. And if you really start eating from 12, 1, 2, 3, by the time you get to 11 o'clock, you probably don't even want whatever the treat was that was on there. And especially if half your plate is green. And I also know for alcohol that instead of eggnogs, everybody read the eggnog label. One year I just went from different markets and different, I was in different countries. I was in, yeah, I can't even tell you how many countries I was in. And I would just look at the eggnog labels in all of these different countries. And if there's anything you want to avoid, I mean, you can do like a vodka and tonic. You can do a wine spritzer even. There are ways to really cut down those calories. And so more when we come back on the holidays, on gratitude. We have some wonderful events coming up. The Pachamama Alliance has their luncheon next week. One Voice has an incredible event, Challenge Aaron. Love to talk to you about all of that. And more truly on how you can lose weight during the holidays and start the year healthy. I mean, what if this was the year that your body was happy with you and what you were grateful for was your health, your nutrition, your wellness, your energy level, all of that. For the very first time ever, you can have the kind of life you always dreamed of and knew you could live. So more with Helen Becker when we return here. On Passionate Living on our new home in Autumn Times.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea-edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings, explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with Helen Becker. We were talking about holidays, and we were just talking about alcohol on the break.
Yeah, alcohol is tricky any time of year, but especially around the holidays because there's so much more food and temptation around us at all times. When I work with clients, I talk about whether or not alcohol can be part of a weight loss effort. And for some people it can be, for some people it can't be, and that's sort of a discovery along the way. But around the holidays, why I say alcohol is optional is some people, once they start to have a couple of drinks, start to get really, really lax in terms of their dietary efforts. In the same way that it can make your mouth run off, it can make your teeth run off in terms of chewing and consuming more food than you would normally consume. So alcohol is a tricky one around the holidays. Let's forget about the whole calorie component, although that is important. Eggnog versus a vodka and tonic is huge. But when you get to wherever you're going, you want to get some food in your stomach before you start drinking. And if you can wait until you sit down at the dinner table to eat, you'll be much better off in terms of your food choices and in terms of how much you consume overall, because alcohol will make you eat more. It's a known fact. The more you drink, the more you will eat. Beer drinkers sometimes fill up on beer instead of food, but wine and cocktails will, your guard comes down and you're just going to have that second piece of pie or that third serving of stuffing. So that's something just to tuck into the back of your mind during the holiday season is monitoring not only when you consume your alcohol, but how much alcohol you're consuming. Again,
I think that's so important. It really is.
You want to have food in your stomach before you drink.
We never really talked about it because I love the fact that you say you're a lifelong learner of health and nutrition. This is something that you're doing. And then I know that you're coaching people through their health and their wellness right now. And so one of my favorite questions to ask people on this show is the, did you know, like when you were 5 and 6 and 7 and other people wanted to be Miss America or a vet or, you know, a mom or a teacher, was there something in you that was naturally helping other people, or did something happen later in life that a door opened all of a sudden and you just knew this was your calling?
I guess my interest was started at a really young age. I'm 4 years older than my sister. And when she was born, she spent the first 4 years in her life pretty much in the doctor's office, at least every 2 weeks, because she had horrible, horrible ear infections. She had her tubes burst. She had to have tubes put in. And it was just horrible. And a friend of my aunt's had suggested to my mom that she take my sister off of milk. My mom went, huh? And she said, try taking her off of milk, see if it does her any good. So, you know, I'm 47. My sister's 43. This is a long time. This isn't the modern day stuff. We're talking, you know, 43 years ago. And my mom walked into the doctor's office and brought it up to him. And he said, if she's allergic to dairy, I will eat my hat. But go ahead. Can't hurt. She's 4. She can get calcium in other ways. And my mother took my sister off of dairy. And almost instantaneously, the ear infections went away. I mean, it was like, it was night and day. This was a child that cried all the time, who was up all night, who was on penicillin and antibiotics all the time. And I'm not exaggerating when I say we were in the doctor's office at least every 2 weeks. And just like that, they just went away. And I went, huh, well, that's interesting. And this is, you know, I'm 4 years older than her. So I was, what, 8 at the time? Now, my mom owned a daycare center, so we had a lot of kids that came through, and every now and then there would be a child who couldn't have dairy or who couldn't have wheat or who couldn't have sugar or what have you. And it was, I remember thinking, oh, that's interesting. Why can't they have that? Oh, that's interesting. Why can't they have that? And then when I was about 15 or so, I started to have these weird episodes in school where I would just literally space out. And it turns out I had a sensitivity to wheat, and my breakfast was bagels. I grew up in New York, in Westchester County, New York. Bagels are pretty standard fare out here. And we cut bagels out of my diet, and we cut my sandwiches out at lunch. And lo and behold, a lot of my health issues went away too. And I was like, there's that food thing again. So funny enough, it was the same friend of my aunt's who recommended we cut out wheat. Wise woman. So from a really young age, I've known the power that food has over our health and wellness. And, you know, I've always paid attention to the latest trends that are out there. I've paid attention to, you know, the stuff that isn't mainstream. I honestly really don't follow anything that you see on channel 2, 4, or 7 or 5 for that matter. I don't know what you want to call it, to be quite honest, but I read a lot of the alternative stuff that's out there. And at the end of the day, you really do have to listen to your body. Your body will tell you what it likes and what it doesn't like in terms of how tired you are, in terms of your mental focus, in terms of your overall energy, in terms of, you know, digestive health. Your intestinal system will pretty much let you know one way or the other whether it's happy with the food you're eating or not. That's the number one indicator to any and all health issues. And trying to find what you're sensitive to or have problems with it's more involved than we have time to get into right now. But if you start paying attention to what you're eating and how it makes you feel, you might discover a thing or two. I mean, there are some common allergens: wheat, dairy, peanuts, citrus, corn. I'm missing a main one. Soy, eggs. You know, there are some major culprits out there. And then there's some foods out there that aren't so obvious. I have a friend that's allergic to coconut. Go figure. But finding food sensitivities is huge. And I guess that really was my main motivator, was at a young age discovering that food really does impact how you feel and your health. So when I discovered that I could become a health coach and, you know, be certified and truly help people and learn how to coach, wasn't the nutritional part that I learned as much as I learned the how to coach people and help them strategize and learn new ways of living and looking at food. That was a game changer for me, was really learning I could help people make those changes, because I would help people who asked me or asked my opinion, but learning how to coach people and really truly help them made a huge difference. So becoming a health coach was a huge, awakening for me.
It's a great word. It is. And if somebody wants to work with you now, because I know people are like, oh my God, I need her help. What's the best way for people to find you or your website?
I have a website called Healthtastic Life.
It's a great name.
Thank you. It came from a coworker who liked to twist words. And he's like, oh, Healthtastic Life. I was like, oh, perfect. You just gave me my website name. My name is Helen Becker, and you can find me on Healthtastic Life. And there's a form you can fill out if you're interested in speaking with me.
That's so terrific. And I guess I know we're jumping to a break in just a minute here, but I also, this show is called Passionate Living. And what does leading and living a passionate life mean to you?
For me, leading and living a passionate life, it comes back to why I like being a health coach. It's having the energy, right? To lead a passionate life, you need to have the energy to lead a passionate life, right? Passion is energy, and it's a focused energy on something you love. And if your body, if your energy level isn't supporting it, it makes it that much more of a struggle to obtain what it is that you're passionate about. I mean, I remember when I thought I was going to go back to school to get my master's degree and I had to study, and I was working full time. And so for me to study, it was going to be after I got home from work, which was at 7 o'clock, after I had dinner. So you're talking 7:30 to 9:30 to study to take my GRE for my master's. And I remember the very first thing I thought was, oh my God, I have to make sure my food is clean and I'm exercising and I'm doing everything I can to support my brain so that I can do this. And it's truly, I mean, anything you want to direct your energy to, you need to feed your body to energize you. So the food, the exercise, it's foundational for living a passionate life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I can help people get to where they want to go, then I've done my job.
That's beautiful. What a great answer. It's a really fabulous answer. And I know we're jumping to break in just a minute, but as we go to break, I just want to give a shout out to One Voice. It's the organization I was telling you about that feeds 2,500 families under poverty level, which is approximately 12,500 people during this holiday season, as well as you're being able to adopt a family with them. You could actually adopt an entire family or have food baskets brought to their home. And they have a great program where you can order holiday cards through them. So if you are looking to send Christmas cards or Hanukkah cards or any kind of season's greeting cards, if you go to onevoice-losangeles.org, onevoice-losangeles.org, and order your holiday cards through One Voice, those funds for those cards go to feed low-income families, which I think is such a beautiful idea.
It's a great idea. Who doesn't send online cards these days?
Right.
So everybody sends them.
Such a special, special, special way to be able to share the holidays. And I love some of your other ideas that you were talking about, just putting, you know, pay it forward in between cans in the supermarket or paying for the person behind you, or even you were saying like paying vet bills for people or being able to, you know, help out in that way. So at this holiday season, be creative, and especially with the food, if you're trying to give to others who do not have enough food, think about what it is that you can share and unique ways that you can share. And Helen, your own family, as Helen's talking about, being passionate, it's being healthy, having the energy level to enjoy your grandchildren or your children or your brothers or sisters or even your parents, to be able to go back and just being able to have that energy, to be able to have that passionate, joyous, happy life. And when we return here with Helen Becker on Passionate Life.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back with Helen Becker on Passionate Living. We have coming up one of my favorite events of the year, which is a luncheon for the Pachamama Alliance. I fell in love with the Pachamama Alliance about 11 years ago, and this organization, their mission statement
is to create an environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling, and socially just human presence on our planet. Let me repeat that. To create an environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling, and socially just human presence on our planet. It's an amazing mission statement and an amazing organization. And they work with the rainforest initiatives. They actually work to change the constitution to give nature rights, because when nature has rights, you can't chop down a tree. They went and they teach land rights to the indigenous people. They work with the rainforest. They work with humanity. They're the most incredible organization and resource for everything, from companies and how they treat their employees to companies that are sustainable. And once a year, they have this incredible luncheon at the Fort Mason Pavilion in San Francisco. And people fly in from all over the world for this organization. It's incredible. Some of the top CEOs from corporations that are getting up. You can look at videos like 4 years ago. If you go to YouTube and just hit them 4 years ago and see how companies are changing in 4 years, how they're becoming sustainable, changing energy, changing everything. And you will meet some of the most incredible people in the world at this luncheon. It is a free luncheon. Free luncheon. And they bless each and every food. There are now thousands upon thousands of people that attend this luncheon. It has grown like you cannot believe. And the energy there, you will meet the best people you have ever come across in your life. Your heart will be opened in a way it's never been opened before. And if you can go to San Francisco on November 19th to the Fort Mason Pavilion, I can tell you it's an event that will change your life. If for any reason you cannot make it to San Francisco, you were in one of the 200 countries that are listening to this program right now, you're in France or you're in Uganda or you're in Ethiopia or wherever, Malta, that you were listening to the show from, and making it to San Francisco next week does not seem feasible or possible for you, guess what? You can live stream this event from wherever you are in the world. And I can tell you, it is life-altering, life-changing, life-elevating. Nothing has ever given me so much joy and pleasure as being able to attend a luncheon as part of the Pachamama Alliance. And so for more information, you can go to Pachamama, that's spelled P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A, Pachamama.org. And if you would like to volunteer and be a table captain, be able to help make sure that people are fed or where to go for resources, if you want to greet people, whatever that is, or you just want to be part of the changing of the world, you can call 415-561-4522, 415-561-4522, Pachamama.org. I can promise you, this is an event that will singularly change your life. This organization is doing so much good. And recently, we just created a website called ambassadorofkindness.net. That's my new site, ambassadorofkindness.net. And you can see all of the charities and organizations I support. So if you're looking for more information on Pachamama or on One Voice or the Team Project or any of the things that we've talked about today, you can go there for further information. And if you have an event that's happening in your area, in your country, something that is really changing the world, elevating consciousness, and you would like me to share that information, please let me know. Send me an email at nicole@nicolebrandonworldwide.com, and I am happy to get the information out to the world, because we really want to help people be able to lead and live that passionate life, the life they always dreamt about living, the life that they knew was possible, and heaven on earth really is possible here for all of us. And I love that Helen's here talking with me today about what a passionate life is, because it really matters. And I love your description. I think that was one of the best descriptions of leading and living a passionate life that I've ever heard. It was really wondrous. It was just beautiful. And so I know, you know, we've talked about fostering kids here, and you were talking about in your own family.
that you had somebody. And so I know that we only have a couple minutes left, but can you share what it's like to be a big sister or to bring in a foster child, or what that means, not only to the child who is being brought in, but to the lives of those who are opening their homes or their hearts?
Yeah, my foster sister came to live with us when I was in ninth grade. She was my age. And I actually knew her when I was a child, which was indirectly how she ended up back in our life, because we got a phone call from a mutual friend that she was going into the foster care system. And we were able to bypass that because we made the choice as a family for her to come and to live with us. And it was a very enriching experience. You know, when you're a teenager, you know, I was 13 when she came to live with me, and I don't think the word enriching was something that I would have used, but it felt like the right thing to do. You know, she was going to end up having to go into a stranger's home, and that didn't seem right. Now I realize anybody taking in a foster child, the child's coming into a stranger's home. So my scenario is slightly different. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in a daycare center. So we had strangers' children in our home all the time. That was my life. And so having my foster sister come and live with us didn't seem all that different. And I will say, as an adult, the greatest lesson from growing up in a daycare center and having a foster sister is it teaches you that the heart has a unlimited capacity to love. There's no limit. You learn to love and love and love and love, and it's endless and it's infinite. And it's a truly wonderful gift to experience that infinite ability to love and to care. Because it doesn't run out. You never run out of the love that you can give. And you know, my foster lived with us through the end of my junior year of high school, and then she went to go live with a friend. There were some issues that arose, and this was the best case scenario. And she's doing well now. She's married with kids, and she does great volunteer work and great work. She's a paramedic. And her and her husband train rescue dogs.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's led a really, really wonderful, wonderful life. And I'm grateful for the experience. I know my family is grateful to having done it. And you'd be amazed taking in a foster child what it does. It's not, I know some people think it's another mouth to feed, or it's another child to contend with, their after school activities, but it's also the gift of loving somebody else and caring for another human being. And it's a lot easier than you would anticipate it being. I'm not going to deny that there are the practical matters of, you know, additional getting somebody to doctors and sports and, you know, shopping and dealing with teenage dramas if they're a teenager. You know, that is the reality. But it's also the reality of being able to help another human being and to be there for them and to provide a stable and loving environment for them. And that just, that's priceless.
That's so beautiful, and I think that's really what this holiday season's about. Like you're saying, the heart has no capacity; it can love and love and love. And I love that you had the daycare scenario and the foster scenario, and that you've taken all of this magic and the gifts. And we never talked about that you were a child when you really started with the health and nutrition and your curiosity. And I think that's so brilliant when you say this is a lifelong journey, and that now that you can coach people, that you can actually, it's not just about putting people on a nutrition plan or diet, but you actually can coach them and guide them.
Yeah.
You know, through the maze or through their own lifestyle, and really help be able to open doors and unveil their future and that happiness and that joy. And It's an incredible gift, and I'm so grateful you're with me today. It's so much fun being here in New York and being able to see
you. Great having you.
To be with you, and it's fabulous. It really is. And so, Pachamama, luncheon next week, November 19th. Again, if you cannot make it in person, live stream the event. It really is absolutely quite wondrous. One voice feeding these thousands and thousands and thousands of family under poverty level. You can help. You can even buy your holiday greeting cards through them. It doesn't matter where you live. Go online to onevoice@la.org and buy your holiday greeting cards, and that money will go to feed these children and these families that are desperately in need. And the teen project, that you can just send a text message and put the word shelter in, or abused, with any zip code, and somebody will respond and find you a safe place to stay. I mean, all of these are such beautiful, beautiful ways to be able to be grateful and to be able to give this holiday season. And you can come up with your own ways to be able to create a beautiful holiday season for somebody. And this is the season of gifting. And as you were sharing, the heart has no capacity to love. So gift your love, gift your sunshine, gift your resources, gift your home, gift your food. Be careful what you eat. Go ahead and send me an email to Nicole at Nicole Brandon Worldwide. I'm happy to send you my How to Lose Weight During the Holidays guide. And if you would like a copy of today's show or any of our archive shows, simply send a text message to 55678. And the message is Nicole, 55678 Nicole. And we look forward to seeing you Thursday on Hourglass Bride, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, it's Helen Becker and Nicole Brandon wishing you a passionate life, a happily ever after life, a life where all your wishes and dreams come true. Thanks for being with me.
My pleasure.